seeing and just kind of check out some things from the paranormal side. My guest today is Jocelyn Buckner, and she's had some incredible experiences. She's been a vortex guide in Sedona for 20 years. So she's got some wonderful stories to tell about that. But the thing that got her to Sedona in the first place is where I wanted to start, because just, you know, before we get into anything beyond that, it's a fun story. And this is how life happens. Jocelyn, hi there. I hope you're doing okay.
Hi, Wendy. Yeah, I'm doing terrific. Hope you're doing well.
Excellent. Yes. I'm looking forward to hearing how this came about that you ended up in Sedona, because everybody who ends up there has usually a unique little snippet that says they're meant to be there. And I loved hearing your story the first time.
Okay. Yes, it's true. Sedona is a very special place, and she chooses you. You don't choose her. But I was invited to Split Giant Rock, and I thought this was very it was very interesting for me. My mom used to take me out there when I was a little tyke to see George Mantassel, and George would get up on top of Giant Rock out there in Landers, California. And he would call in the UFOs, and you could see them dancing in the sky. And they were quite the big draw back in the day. Probably, you know, up to 10,000 people went out there to watch this. And so when I got this call, they said, yeah, there's going to be this prophecy. And Giant Rock is going to split. And I said, wait a minute, let me get this right. There's been a rock out there for a few million years, and you're going to go out there and split it on this day. Okay, this is something I got to see. So we go out there, and they were doing a lot of meditations and this one and ritual, and one of the women that was out there walked up to me, and I had not seen her before in this group of people. Nobody else saw her. I was the only one that saw her. And she came up to me and she said, oh yeah, by the way, you're going to go to Sedona and you're going to become a gatekeeper. And I laughed out loud, because honestly, we had just built our dream home in Yorba Linda, California, had my kids in good schools. We owned a Remax real estate office in Orange County. And I thought, oh, yeah, right. And I never mentioned anything to my husband about it, because it just sounded so, you know, wacko.
Yeah. That would be kind of a
I got home from this event about a week later. My husband said, oh, guess what, somebody came into the office today and they want to buy the Remax office. And I went, huh, not interesting. And then we got another phone call, and somebody wanted to buy our house. And, you know, we're sitting there. And so my husband said, you know what, I'm really tired. I would like to semi-retire at this point. So why don't we go ahead and make the move? And I said, where would you like to go? And he goes, oh, I don't know. I was thinking about Sedona. And
oh, wow.
You know, I said, you just wait a minute. I'll go pack. I'll get the kids. And so we moved to Sedona, and it was in the middle of my daughter's senior year in high school. My other little daughter was in fourth grade, I believe. And, you know, they were just so excited to be here as well. They didn't, you know, they made the change. And I told my oldest daughter, you know, well, we can wait until after you graduate from high school, and then you're going to go off to college. And she already had a scholarship up at Washington University. And she said, no, you know what? I want to have a chance to live in Sedona, too. So she finished out her senior year here. She actually graduated from Sedona High School. So anyway, we ended up here on original Disney property. And the story goes that Disney was supposed to have done a UFO film for Disclosure, where Mickey Mouse was going to be the ambassador to the stars and Marilyn Monroe was going to be his co-ambassador. And they were going to bring the world up to speed. And Eisenhower had approached Disney to make this Disney Disclosure film, and Disney said, yeah, you know, I'll get right to it. I'm doing this movie called Fantasia, and I'm, you know, and I'm trying to open this park, but as soon as I get that all under control, I'll start working on your movie. And Disney was actually given some original footage that was shot here in Sedona. Years ago, Sedona was just a backdrop for movies, for Western movies, even. As you know, Elvis Presley was here. He was out at the Bradshaw Ranch, and you know, he ended up buying a house over on Verde Valley School Road and spending a lot of time out here. But you know, the West, so he was thinking, Disney was thinking about making kind of a Western movie. And so he bought this property, and right where they filmed this UFO during a filming of a Western movie, you know, and I heard the story, it was John Wayne and Maureen O'Hare, and they were acting, and they were over by the creek, and they were acting, and John Wayne gets on his horse, and the camera pans up, and then it just keeps panning up, and it films this UFO. It's basically right over Bell Rock. And
wow, I hadn't heard that. That's amazing.
And we have a like this historical movie place in Uptown, and for a long time that movie, that little clip, it played at that you know, little tourist put in your quarter and watch a movie here. And about 1997, it just disappeared right out of the little movie museum. And if you go in there and ask people today, they never heard of it. You know, they,
wow.
But my mom was really into UFOs because she saw four UFOs at Mount Shasta 2 years before I was born. And so I was basically born into a UFO family where, you know, during dinner, we'd all sit around the table. My mom would read the latest UFO book. So I cut my eye teeth on UFOs and have been a lifelong contactee. My mom also was a lifetime contactee. And what the ETs are trying to tell us is, you're making a mess of your planet. You better find the courage someplace to start saying no to big money and big corporations and greed and lust, and start saying yes to a more sustainable future, or else, you know, we're going to have to take over here. And that is what I understand from my contact experiences, is that they're here because we're supposed to be the guardians of this planet, and we're not doing a very good job right now. And they've weaponized everything now. Our air is weaponized with chemtrails, our water is weaponized with fluoride, our energy is weaponized with nuclear and all of the problems that come with that. And our food is weaponized with GMOs. So everything is, you know, up is down and down is up, and the ETs are coming and saying, you know, this is going to happen because your consciousness is so low that it is attracting these bad elements in the universe and in all the universes that are parallel. So when we explode a nuclear bomb or when radiation is dumped into the sea, it doesn't affect just the United States or just, you know, that little area right there outside of the Hanako, Japan. We're talking about multiverses that are feeling the repercussions, and they're not really liking it too much. So, you know, it's like when you have, I say that we belong to somebody, just like my little black dog here belongs to me, and I love her and I take care of her. And when she is naughty, I scold her and I make her go lay down in her bed. And that's basically the same width of intelligence that is between us and ETs, is the width of intelligence between me and my dog. And it is also the way that they treat us, because we belong to them. We're part of their progeny, and they're going throughout these universes making God grow and making consciousness grow and creating life, which is very, very precious. And we're wasting it like, you know, like we've got another planet to go to. So have you had a similar ET experience, Wendy?
My experience has basically been contact and hearing. Well, one of them was a mechanical voice when the guides told me that I would hear my intuitive stuff. I have spirit guides, and they were saying there was going to be contact, and I'm like, okay, well, that's great. I'm ready. And they said, and this is from both that ET element and the guides, we don't want to frighten you. And I thought, well, I've had lots of experiences in my life. I'm sure I won't be frightened. I can deal with it. So at 3 a.m. in the morning, when I'm sound asleep, I wake up, and in the corner of the room, I hear a voice, and it's a mechanical voice that says, Winnie. It can't quite say my name. And so what I hear is that tone, and immediately I went into a fight or flight. I froze from the toe up to my head. I'm thinking, oh, darn, because I knew at that moment I shut it down. I knew at that moment I had lost the connection. But what the purpose of that was to demonstrate there are certain levels of contact that we are still not primed for because of our evolution. And we are primed to fear what we don't understand or what is too far outside of our frequency, our range of awareness, then we automatically shut down. And so that was a demonstration. And afterwards, my guides were right there and they laughed. We told you, you had to work on your fear. And they were representing that as opposed to our species and us as you know, human beings evolving our consciousness, that this is where we're at right now, that we tend to, in so many cases, jump the gun and think, oh, this is meant to frighten us. This is meant to, in some way, shape, or form, subjugate us. Or in, you know, in so many ways, we just can't fathom that there would be something of that level here to help us. And yet that's what it's about. And so my experiences then have been intuitive and telepathic. Like we mentioned, I was talking to you for another show and talked about, I went outside and there was a bright flash. I've had lots of things like that happen. When I went to Sedona in June of this year, and that was, again, guided, making a contact, because I've had my own experience for 20 years with this interactive nightlight. And right now I'm looking in my room at the nightlight flashing on and off and on and off. It's been doing this for 20 years, wherever I go. That's my connection with all of this other stuff, with my spirit guides, with this consciousness reminding us that we are not just the body. So I go to Sedona, and at one point I wanted to take a picture of the area we were as a frame of reference, and the canyons looked, the scenery was beautiful. I come home and I look at it, and there's five little white orbs in the picture, five little white dots.
Oh,
and I
realize nice?
Somebody
yeah.
else told me when they enlarged the picture and enhanced it, and you could see that there was a vessel behind those white. It was like a shadow and two different projections. It was so this is what I experience, but I'm not getting all of the, what should I say, the kind of contact that some of the experiencers say, where they've been taken on a ship and all that. I don't have that. Mine is telepathic, and it's basically a companion, helping of do what you think will leave a better, I guess, message behind, instead of trying to assume that you're here and you're the only one that matters in this big, beautiful place, that there's a lot more going on than we really have the ability to fathom, and to start thinking outside the box. That's basically what they keep pushing me to do. Does that make sense?
It sure does. You know, and for years I studied with Dolores Cannon, and I did the quantum healing technique that she teaches. And it's basically a past life regression. And then she takes you a little bit deeper, where you can ask certain questions, because, you know, your guides, as you say, or your higher self or God consciousness, whatever it is, comes through and will answer any questions. So I want to ask, have you ever been regressed? Have you ever been asked, have I had an ET experience? Because there's a lot of people that I have regressed through the years, and until I got them on that table and, you know, took them down, they didn't really remember what their ET experiences were.
I've had lots of experiences, and they have been ET, and they have been spirit guardians from the time that I was little. At one point, I was 10 or 11, and the little girl who was staying overnight with me for our sleepover said, "Have you accepted the Holy Ghost?" And I said, "Well, of course, who wouldn't? The Holy Spirit. Yes, of course." And at that point, my whole body turned. I was just warm. Like, and I remember I called it the glow worm experience. And I tried to tell her about it, and she didn't want to talk about it. I thought, okay, this is something I don't talk about to other people. But
yeah,
from
that
type
of
experience,
young, don't we?
And more of experiences like that. I remember when I had the ET dreams of being taken here and there, and landing on a ship and going into the ship. And I just associated those with dreams. But what I was also being given was information about healing, and information about drugs that were coming online later on. And one was significant, because it had to do with later on, when I had a brown recluse spider bite, I was given the exact thing I had been shown in a dream, you know, 20 or 10 years earlier, this little cream that would heal things. And basically, when I got the cream, I knew that that wasn't going to work for the brown recluse spider bite. And I just had to say no. And at the time, I thought, well, isn't that amazing? They gave me the information about how this would heal. And yet, when I finally got it, I wasn't supposed to use it. it would have countered the it needed to stay open so that the toxin would be released from the body and not go into. It's a systemic thing, and so it would have caused more problems to seal that wound. But I had woke up in the 90s, and I had these two tall beings in white robes at the end of my bed, and I realized they've got a clipboard and they're discussing me. And I heard my name. I'm thinking, and they're talking about whatever I was doing. And I tried to start focusing on what they were saying. And immediately the one said, she's awake, and they were gone. I couldn't see them. Another time there was a UFO in the bedroom. The dog growled. This is 2013. The dog growled, and I thought he was growling at the cat. So I kind of half opened my eyes. And I realized there's this little, basically a disc sized, not disc, I'm sorry, a dinner plate sized thing, round, you know, maybe the size of a basketball, hovering above the ceiling. And I called it a Christmas tree because it was green and red. And I at one point drew the bulbs look like those clear bulbs that we have, and the red bulbs around, and then the four or five green bulbs inside. And then when I realized what it was, I tried to focus on it. The minute I tried to focus, it switched from being right inside the house to directly outside, and I could see the lights coming through the mini blinds. And I knew that I wasn't supposed to get a picture, that that was the end of it. And so I went back to sleep.
Well, so I know. Had ET experiences to me. You know, that it's never a burning bush. You know, where these miracle type experiences, and you know, even talking with Travis Walton, and you know, he had a very dramatic experience to the point that, you know, he can't do anything else in his life. That he said that he, one time he tried to sell appliances at Sears. All these people were coming in. They didn't want to discuss appliances. They wanted to discuss his case. And so he fired.
Yes.
You know, like, he says, I can be a lumberjack where I'm out there and nobody's around me, or I have to, you know, keep on the UFO. And there's so many people that want to hear about his story, and as he's coming out with more and more details, because there are things, like you said, that we get the idea we're not supposed to say anything, or it's not time yet. And how many times have you sat down to write something down so you wouldn't forget, and the thought had just completely been erased from your mind? Because it had something to do with the paranormal or the ETs. It simply wasn't time. And I think that's what the Phoenix Lights were about, is that they were a signal of, yes, it's time, and yes, you are going to be, we're going to wake you up now. All of those things that you either incarnated with as a wave of the volunteer from another star system. That's what Dolores Cannon says. She said that, you know, about 100 years ago, the call started going out across all the universes out there, across everybody, and they said, okay, we've got this planet. It's going through this big change of consciousness, and we need volunteers. And last time we sent down this one guy, and you know, they put him on the cross and crucified him. So this time we're going to incarnate in as humans, and we are going to hold the energy of and into a higher consciousness, and we're going to, you know, open up possibilities and new realms, and get Earth to be not only this higher consciousness, but also get it to be a first world civilization.
And Jocelyn, so Jocelyn, we're going to take a break, so I want to come back. I want to come back and talk a little bit more. You have a couple of books coming out, ebooks. One is about Sedona tours and the area. The other is about the Bradshaw Ranch, which is a fascinating area and a part of Sedona's history with all sorts of paranormal elements involved. So hang on, okay. I really want to get back into that. And this whole area of the contact, the telepathic communication, the upgrading our consciousness. Sedona is a wonderful hub for that kind of information and people who are really experiencing expansion of their awareness. And that's what I like. Jocelyn's been he retired now, but for 20 years in that area, and as a tour guide knows where to go, what to do, and when to do it. And the book is coming out. So we're going to come back and talk more about that. Again, this is Conscious Living on Empower Radio. And if you want to check out the website, I also do Wendy's Coffee House, Blogspot, and just connect a lot of that consciousness information. Also the sci-fi stuff, just because there's so much going on now. The best way to access it is to keep an open mind and stay curious.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college. This is beyond a simple donation. It's the opportunity for America to invest in its kids and take an active stake in the future of the country. The return on your investment isn't money. What you get back is knowing you protected our potential. So one day, that potential can grow up to become surgeons and architects, executives and engineers, people who can change the future just by being a part of it. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. A public service announcement brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
This is you over 30 years ago.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
And this is your mom when you drive her back from therapy.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Roles change without us noticing, and in your new role, we help you help. AARP gives you the information to help care for your mom so that you can have patience with her, just like she did with you. Visit aarp.org/caregiving or call 1-877-333-5885 to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one.
Are we there yet?
Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, Mom, why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 21?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat?
Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Conscious Living on Empower Radio. Hi there, I'm Wendy Garrett. Thank you for tuning in. You know, there are hundreds of shows in the archives. So when you listen, if you anytime, 24/7 or 9 o'clock Central Time weekly, the show airs every night. And usually try to post a schedule, but one way or the other, you can check it out on Empower Radio. And there are so many things happening right now that are the information, the ability to track and explore and learn about other people who've had similar experiences, whether they're metaphysical or paranormal or ET, is phenomenal. So doing this research, I'm running into a lot of people who've been doing just like me for the last 20 or 30 or 40 years, learning and exploring and expanding and having incredible experiences that in some ways there is no equal, no way to say this is how it looks or this is how it happens. It's just say, this is what I experienced. And with Jocelyn, there was a story she told me earlier. Jocelyn Buckner, my guest, she's in Sedona, Arizona, and has been there for years. The wonderful thing about her is she had the ability to automatically be familiar with ET and UFO genre, that because of her mom. Her mom was open to it, had an experience, and that's how this works. When you have somebody in your family who has a firsthand encounter, it makes it so much easier to say, okay, let's go on the next step. What's here and where is it and how do we connect with it? So that's where she comes from. And so giving tours in Sedona, the Vortex area, for 20 years or so, she's retired now. She has a couple of books coming out, and the books, one about Sedona and the other one about the Bradshaw Ranch. So Jocelyn, the Bradshaw Ranch, it's something like the Skinwalker Ranch in terms of tons of paranormal, unexplained ET type of activities and events that we really don't have a way to, in our world, say is normal, but in these places they are. And the Bradshaw Ranch you're familiar with, can you share some of the experiences you've had out there?
Oh, sure. The Bradshaw Ranch is one of these really high, strange, paranormal spots. But let's remember that the energy is very subtle. I've taken people out there and my hair is standing on end, and they couldn't feel it if a ball peen hammer hit them over the head. They were just completely not open, not registering. They were just looking at the scenery thinking, oh, gee, isn't it beautiful? And you know, I'm seeing chemtrails and he's seeing a beautiful blue sky. So, you know, it's really where you are coming from. I didn't tell you the story of going out there with a Native American. And I went out there with a guy. His name was Tommy Redfeather. He's deceased now. But his family used to talk about the Hanaki ruins, like, you know, that's where Grandpa used to live. And there are only very special Native Americans that could live there. Basically, all of Sedona was very, very sacred. It was so sacred, nobody was allowed to live there. The only time that you could live there is if you were a shaman or you're on a sacred path or something like that. So he takes me out there, and there were these Kachina god rock art petroglyphs, and you could count that they had 13 feathers. And he said, turn around, turn around. And I turned around, I'm looking over Bradshaw Ranch, and these, I swear to God, Wendy, this feather that was about 3 feet long fell from the sky and just simply dissipated. It was the weirdest thing. And I asked him, I go, you know, what is going on? And he said, well, that is a message from the Kachina god. The eagle Kachina god lives here. And this, you know, and I said, you know, well, what's a Kachina? And they said, well, Kachina means in the Hopi language, those who have come from the stars. And that there are three kinds of Kachinas, those that we would describe as angels. Then there are leaders or helpers, like, you know, the tall whites that come down and they teach the consciousness of life. And then there are the watchers. That is another type of Kachina. They just, they watch everything. And when you do something bad or good, they hold up a mirror so that you could really see these. But all of these are really held in really high esteem. And so that's one of the reasons that Sedona is so sacred. and Bradshaw Ranch in particular, because this is a home of one of their gods. And I asked Tom Dongo, I said, you know, he's written several books about Bradshaw Ranch, and I said, have you ever seen these huge feathers that will just, you know, they just fall from the sky? He goes, that's funny that you should say something about that. Somebody just told me about that the other day. So, yeah, there is some people can see these huge feathers at the ranch, which will dissolve into thin air right in front of your eyes.
See, that is incredible. And it, to me, what you're saying, though, is not everybody can see them. They appear for certain people.
I imagine that that is true, and it could be part of this spirituality or being open. And that was one of the things about growing up with knowing about ETs and UFOs and never being afraid. The fear comes from Hollywood. Just look at all of the movies that we've had to endure that are nothing but E.T. war. You know, well, that's what conflict sells a story. But all of these people now all over the world, they think that if UFOs comes, it's going to be the war of the worlds. And they've always been here, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Okay, let me just interject a little bit, because with my own experience and the intuitive stuff, when I started dealing with afterlife and more, you know, spirits and ghosts and non-corporeal stuff, things that never take a body, that are here energetically, what I was given and what I experienced is that a lot of times there's an emotional connection where they stir the pot, and the vibrations that we emit as we become more excited or more angry or more elevated in some way, shape, or form, are attractive to certain entities. And that's also part of this. It's not all about the ET stuff. It's also about the other elementals, the other beings, the other forms of conscious awareness that don't look like us in any way and don't have to be corporeal, but they are also in our space. And so the things that we do, whether it's just a thought, create for them sustenance. It creates something that they respond to, and we attract others. And I think that for me was the most informative, the most helpful to understand. I really had to pay attention to my thoughts, because I was manifesting things that maybe I really didn't want in my space as a result of negative thinking.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
No, it does. It does. And, you know, negative thinking for you might be positive thinking for another person.
Let me say adversarial are much more aggressive thoughts of maybe being vindictive or holding a grudge, or negative in terms of something that would be harmful to somebody else or to myself or my environment. Not just, oh, I won't win, not just a sour attitude, but a negative thing of I need to be dominant over somebody else. I am in charge. More egoic and more caught up in the thing of having a power that somebody else doesn't have. And that to me it brings a different kind of entity into your space. That I've experienced.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's what I was talking about. It's what you bring to the experience. So if you already make up your mind saying, whatever happens, I'm not going to be afraid. I know I am protected. I know that my spirit guides are with me. And I place myself in pure white light as I proceed. And I go into my CE5 or, you know, or a meditation. But, you know, what I was told long time ago, that ETs, they can't get too close. They can, you know, because they can feel all of our self-hate, all of our negativity, To them, it's like we're a baby with a stinky diaper, and they don't want to get too close. So you can stay over there with your stinky diaper self, and they'll stay over here, and they will communicate, but you'll never see them get pretty close. And all of the ETs that I have ever witnessed, with the exception of a robot kind of R2-D2 type of being, they've all looked sort of like us, you know, where you can, if you dressed them up in normal clothes and put them on the streets of LA at night, you wouldn't think twice about seeing these
walking around. I had an experience in 2009, they were showing me some of the others who are here, and I was guided to go to a certain place as to deliver a message. And the test was whether, you know, I would follow instructions, that kind of thing. And I took a detour. My husband's with me in the car. And it was so funny because it was a deviation from the course I was supposed to go. And with that, I was in this, unfortunately, a completely blocked off apartment complex. It was one way in and one way out. And so my shortcut was not a shortcut. And as we're driving by the pond in that unit or that place, this is what was so phenomenal. The geese formed a question mark, synchronized swimming question mark. And my husband looked over at me and he said, "See, they wonder why you're doing this too." And I tell you, if I had not done that, that little demonstration wouldn't have happened. So even me deviating from the course was part of the plan. And at that point, then I followed every direction from from that point on, knowing that they're right beside me, that this wasn't a secret, that all of my actions were being noted. I just thought it was hilarious, though, that they gave me a way to say, yeah, see, bright ideas. And
right.
It was just a perfect way of saying, here, we're paying attention too. And that stuff goes on for me a lot.
Well, that's, and that's another interesting point. I was talking with Susie Hansen, and she's from New Zealand.
New Zealand?
Yes. Wonderful woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she and I were talking about how some things before you incarnate into this third dimensional experience that we call life, that we are given, sort of a set of goals, so to speak, and things that you really want to learn while you're here having this experience. Because what we should look at what time and what space is, and we should realize, I'm really not from here. This is part of the dream, the dream of consciousness. And so when you are telling me about dreams, I'm thinking, okay, well, an experience is an experience. It doesn't matter if you're in the third dimensional consciousness or the fifth dimensional consciousness.
Right.
You're still having that experience while you are having this overall experience of what is happening now, which is part of your life journey into the newer, higher consciousness that you are becoming all the time.
When I had that spiritually transformative experience, STE, back in 1997, one of the first things that I wanted to do, because when these things happen, they're so incredible, energizing, mind-blowing, that you think, oh, I want to share this, I want to do this. And so I came up with this thing I wanted to do, teaching a course on manifest dreaming. And what that is bringing the night dream into the daydream and the daydream into the night dream. Because as you say, it's an experience. It's just a flow of consciousness. And the more you experience something on the dream plane, the better your chances that you're going to see it manifest on the waking plane. And some people are better at dreaming their reality and manifesting their dreaming than others. But that is also a learning curve. And I was going to teach that. And then I thought, you know what? I don't have time. I'm too busy experiencing things.
You
have, to stop and teach.
And I manifest more time.
So, yeah, that's another story.
I understand that completely. And, you know, when I got to the end of 20 years of doing these tours and readings and quantum healings and everything else that I got involved with, one day you just wake up and you just say, that's it. I'm out of time. You know, there are things on the bucket list that I still have to do, and I don't have any time to go to work if I want to get these bucket list things done.
Uh-huh. I came here. I came here for those, and gee, I put those on the back burner. Well, okay, it's time.
It's time.
So there's time.
Yeah.
There's time. Yeah,
and
just for different
things. I think right now, you know, there are these big black puddles that are lying right in front of the Earth in this area that we are now traveling in. And scientists are looking at these and thinking, you know, what is this? We don't know what this, we know what a nebula is, we know what, you know, these star systems are, but these big black puddles, we really don't know what these are. Mm-hmm. And the ETs told me that they're, think of them as oil slicks. The Earth is going to hit one of these and it's going to zoom across it. And this will be the differential to the new beginning of the new Earth. And we are about to hit one. So I'm telling everybody, you know, get to know your neighbor and start having a plan. It's better to have it, not need it, than to need it and not have it. Store water, get yourself some silver, get yourself some, you know, save all your coins, don't spend coins, and, you know, just be sure that when things change, that you can recognize inside of yourself that everybody is on this same plane. There's no need for us to have any sort of differences, particularly if we're all from the same country or all from the same neighborhood. We need to hold it together because things are going to happen and things are going to be happening in the Earth that are going to bring about change quickly.
And, Jocelyn, I want to bring back, there was a story you told me about with you and Kim Carlsberg.
Okay.
That I think is also really important because it says no matter how much you can prepare, there are some things you're not going to be prepared for, but you'll be ready. And that's where you guys were out walking together when all of a sudden you weren't. I thought that was that's a fabulous story, and it happens to people more than we know and more than we can share. But that is a reality, I think, that brings another question into the equation of what's real and where are we now. So if you would do me a favor, that's a good one. Would you share
okay,
that?
Well, yeah, I was out with Kim, and we were with two doctors, and the fence is pushed down at the end of the driveway, so if you wanted to walk onto the property, get up close to the ranch house, it was possible, but it was trespassing. But, you know, it was an abandoned ranch house. Well, these doctors, they didn't want to trespass. So we were walking the line, the outside perimeter of the ranch and staying on the other side of the fence. And this works well because you can invite those unseen others over to you. and you can have the experience. And so we were walking along this line, and we were getting near the wash. We were past the famous windmill, and we were getting down near the wash, and they had some outbuildings over there with some old advertising on it, and that's what they wanted to go down and take some photos of it. And Kim said that she turned around, talked to him, she turned around, and I had completely disappeared. But I could see her, and she was calling me, and she looking for me, and I was, you know, sort of giggling at first because I was right there. And I watched her go back and forth, and I finally ran up to her, tried tapping her on the shoulder. She turned around. She didn't see me. She couldn't hear me. She couldn't see me. She did not experience me. And so she told these doctors, I'm going to go back. You know, it's been an hour and a half. Jocelyn's gone. I'm going to go back and call the sheriff. She's, you know, disappeared. And Kim was running back along this fence line, and I'm struggling to keep up with her, and because it's all uphill. And I realized that I should be retracing my steps and going, you know, the same through the, you know, same little rocks that I saw before. And all of a sudden she turned around, she goes, there you are. Oh, I can't believe it. Never do that again. I was worried, and she just went into a tirade, but I could see her, I could hear her. She had no experience, and this, like I said, went on for an hour and a half. We have the two doctors that were there as witnesses as well. And, you know, to me, this is just a little minute capsule of what we can experience in the cosmos. There's a lot of things that we don't know about. We don't know about our oceans, and, you know, we don't know about space. Yeah. So, and we we pretend like we know everything, and or we pretend like science is the answer to everything. But, you know, science can't explain love. They have no formula that will create love. So, you know, can we really put all of our eggs in science's basket?
Jocelyn, we're going to have to go, but I really, really am looking forward to the book on the Bradshaw Ranch. I do look forward to hearing more about that and your other book on Sedona for people who've never been there. It's a treasure, and it's worth at least one trip if you haven't been. Jocelyn, we have to go. For people who are interested.
It was a pleasure, my dear. Please call me anytime. Call me when you're in Sedona, and I'll show you some secret places.
I will hold you to that.
Okay.
And thank you for listening. And again, I'll put some links when on Wendy's Coffee House, especially when the book is available. In the meantime, how to reach Jocelyn on her WordPress site. But you are listening to this because you're in the right place at the right time to do your own thinking, do your own math, do your own manifesting, and just be open to the possibilities that what we see is just the mere tip of all that is possible. Teeny tiny itty bitty, like a pinpoint. And the rest of that is open for all sorts of experimentation, learning, expanding, becoming, growing, evolving. That's what we're doing while we're here. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. And do make a point to give yourself permission to be more, to know more, to grow more, and to have fun. That's why we're here. Till next time, stay curious, and thank you for listening to Conscious Living on Empower Radio. See ya.